Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Friendship Church. We are so glad that you are here today. Over the last several weeks, you had the incredible privilege of hearing from several of our elders as they walked us through the moral of the story, looking at several of the parables of Jesus Christ. Would you do me a favor? Would you let them know how much you enjoy them teaching? I tell you what, they did a phenomenal job. We are so incredibly blessed to have so many men and women, too, that just love Jesus Christ, and their passion showed as they shared that with you. I do have to make just one qualifying statement, though, regarding something that that Don Stewart did while I was gone. If you were here during that time, I don't think Don's back in here yet from finishing playing the drums, but Don and I have been friends for 11, going on almost 12 years now here at Friendship Church, and so a couple weeks ago, he showed a picture of me supposedly on vacation. However, I will tell you that was taken like 3.5 years ago at our sabbatical while we were down south, and you know it's been great. Don and I have been friends for 11 years, and that was a good run. Okay, so we're starting our new series called The Way of Wisdom, and as a church, if you have not joined in with us, we encourage you to do that. As a church, we're reading through the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was written by a guy named Solomon. Solomon was the wisest, richest, most powerful man that ever lived. He literally had kings and queens that would come to him, that would make the journey in ancient times just to come and hear him talk. Just an unbelievable man that God had blessed with wisdom beyond anything that anyone ever has seen before or since his passing. And so as we look at the book of Proverbs, we understand that we have the ability to sit and read the words of the wisest man that ever walked the face of the planet. And in this book, he records things about what it means to be a wise person. In particular, in the book, he talks about how to be a wise person in making decisions, how to be a wise person in life, how to be a wise person just in general, doing the things that you're supposed to do. And what we're doing as a church, and if you've not joined in, you can just join in with us today. We are reading a chapter a day through the month of August. Now, I know it's already August 7th, so today, if you were reading along with us, you would read Proverbs chapter 7. If you go, I don't have a Bible, I don't know where to read, that you can stop in the back. I believe that we have 31 days of wisdom booklets, probably about 20 of them left out of the 250 that were originally made. By the way, for us by Breedensteiner Publishing, which John and Cheryl are here. They did a phenomenal job. Awesome job of that. I don't know if I see them right here. There they are over there. I just embarrassed them. But just give them a hug later. Just an unbelievable job. And I tell you, it's been phenomenal to see some of what you've posted, some of the things that have jumped out at you as you read the book of Proverbs. But the reason that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, he actually gives it to us. Solomon, being the wisest guy that ever lived, realized that all of us are not on the same level as Solomon. And so when he starts out this book, he goes, okay, everybody, this is why I wrote the book. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, he writes these words. These are the Proverbs of the saying of Solomon, David's son, the king of Israel. He says, their purpose. So whenever you're reading the Bible and it says their purpose or this purpose or the reason I wrote this is, that's when you should really go, oh. So he's trying to tell us that. Sometimes you can read a book in the Bible and you go, I'm not sure what the purpose is until you're about halfway through, then you understand the theme or you understand the background behind it. But Solomon wanted to get this out right of the way. He says, listen, I want you to know exactly why I'm writing this. This isn't just for some person to have, you know, some interesting thing in history. It's not me writing a letter to some other person. This is literally written for a very specific purpose. Then he gives us what that purpose is. He goes, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs or these sayings and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Solomon begins, he says, listen, here's the reason that I'm writing this. I want you to be wise. So do you want to be wise? Do you want to know how to develop a disciplined and successful life? Do you want to be able to have insight on difficult situations, the knowledge of things that you don't necessarily know everything about, to be able to gain understanding? Have discernment when difficult decisions come your way. Have discernment when difficult people or things come into your life. Know how to deal with them. Know how to talk with them. Know how to work with them. He says, if you want that, then read, apply, and live this book. Now that is quite an introduction, is it not? It's like, listen, hey, you want to have the life that you want? You want to be able to do the things that you say you want to do? You want to be wise enough to live and enjoy the life that everyone says they want to live? This book contains everything you need to be able to do that. He says, this book will give you absolutely everything that you need to have the insight and discernment and understanding. That's why sometimes I challenge people, especially those that are new Christians. They say, I want to learn how to read the Bible. What I say is, listen, do exactly what we're doing in the month of Proverbs, a month of August. Read whatever day it is, read that chapter in Proverbs. He goes, for how long? As long as you can do it. I know for years and years and years I did this practice, and I'll tell you what, every single day something new jumped out at me. Every single day. There was not a day that went by that I read one of those Proverbs and I went, well, whatever, that's not new. Something else jumps out at you every single time you read it, because Proverbs was written by this man that was so wise that he was able to take the simple things and turn them into unbelievable complex things that allows us to understand how to make good and positive decisions. Now, you may be sitting there and you may have a particular definition of wisdom in your mind. Some people think wisdom is smart. Now, I don't know about you, but I have known a lot of highly intelligent people that were dumb. Anyone ever met highly intelligent people that were dumb? Okay, no pointing. But I mean, people that have like degrees upon degrees upon degrees, and they like, you know, they put blue with pink, and you know, I don't know if that's even right or wrong, but they put all these different colors together that are wrong and they don't make sense, and they just, you're like, what's wrong with you? And then they make all this money financially, but they're completely in debt and they have no savings whatsoever. Like, what is wrong with you? Why can't you be smart enough to do that? They've got all this intelligence, but they have no ability to apply that intelligence. Some people think wisdom is shrewd, you know, people who are kind of, they're able to read situations and they're able to kind of manipulate sometimes people to do what they want them to do. That's not necessarily wisdom either. So what I did is I sat down and I kind of pulled from all sorts of different resources and I came up with a very simple working definition on what wisdom is. And as we talk about it for the next month, how you can take that and put that to practice in your life and have a kind of a bigger understanding of what wisdom is. So here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge and experience when making decisions in life. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge and experience when making decisions in life. Now, I know some of you blank fillers are out there going, that is not on my notes. There's no blank there. That's all right. You can write it down if you want to. That's okay. But wisdom is simply the ability to apply knowledge, so things that you've learned, and experience, things that you've experienced when making decisions in life. In other words, you learn from the things that you learn, and you learn from the experiences that you've had. And so when a decision comes up, you just don't make a decision. You stop, you pause, you say, okay, what do I know to be true? What have I experienced so far in my life? Putting those two things together, what is the best decision that I can make? That is wisdom. And so when we read the book of Proverbs, we go, that's what we're trying to get. We're trying to get knowledge, and we're trying to get experience, and we're trying to figure out how to apply those two things to decisions that we make in our lives. So that's what we're trying to do over the next 4 weeks as we're reading through this and as we're talking through this. I want to help you take some things from the Word of God and be able to apply them from both your knowledge and your experience, the decisions that you're going to make. Now, as you're reading and as you've already read, several of you have probably already read the first 7 chapters of the book of Proverbs, you realize that in the book of Proverbs, Solomon uses the same characters over and over and over and over and over again. He doesn't call them by their given name. He calls them by how they make decisions. There is, first of all, the wise. And we're going to talk about that today. We're talking about how wise people make decisions and how you can become wiser and how you can gain more experience and gain more knowledge. And so you'll read through it. It says the wise does this and God blesses him this way. You'll also see, and depending upon the translation, it could be one of several, the phrase the simple, the naive, the inexperienced, or the young. All referring to the same. We're going to call them the simple, and I'm going to talk about them next week. And essentially what it is it's people that don't know enough to be able to make wise decisions. They haven't had enough life experience to be able to make wise decisions. And so they are considered not in a derogatory way, but they are the simple, not like simple-minded, but they're simple. They don't have all the understanding. They're naive to the way that things work. And so they don't have the ability to be able to make wise decisions. Then the next one that Proverbs refers to, that Solomon refers to in Proverbs, is the fool. He uses the word the fool, the foolish, the foolhardy, depending upon, again, what translation you're reading. The fool is someone who has knowledge and has experience, but he doesn't care to apply them. The fool is someone that will stick his tongue in a light socket and get shocked, and afterwards go, well, that was exciting. And then later on go, I think I should stick my tongue in a light socket again. Because, you know, it hurt a little bit, but not so bad that we won't try it again. That's the fool. They have knowledge and experience, but they refuse to apply it. It's like, come on, where's the disconnect taking place here? And so in week three, we're going to talk about the fool. The last one is called the mocker or the scorner or the scornful, the scoffer. The scoffer, the mocker, is someone who knows what's going on. Someone who's experienced what's happened. But it's not that they forget to apply or they don't apply. They refuse to apply what they know and what they've experienced. And if you are around the mocker, they will make fun of you for doing it as well. They'll ridicule you. They'll attack you. They'll try to undermine you because they don't want anyone else to get ahead because they're not ahead themselves. And quite frankly, the Bible says this, the only thing that you can do with a mocker is put some serious distance between you and them because they'll never learn. We'll talk about him in week four. Now, I know some of you probably, as I was going through that list, thought, oh, I know that person. I know you put faces to those. But can I tell you something? I think in reality, dependent upon the situation, the decision that we're making, we probably all have at different times fit into one of those categories. And so what I want to do today is I want to just focus on this one category of the wise. And here's the big idea for today. The big idea is this. The wise receive instruction and learn from experience. The wise receive instruction. They listen to what they're told. They listen to what they've learned. They hear and understand. They take it all in. But then they also learn from their own experience. They learn from the decisions that they've made, both good and bad. They've learned to understand. They've learned to receive those things and go, man, that was a bad idea. I'll probably not put my tongue in the light socket again because that hurt. I'm pretty sure I lost some brain cells. I don't want to do that again. And so they learn from experience. And so what I want to do is I want to just walk through a couple passages in the book of Proverbs, and I want to show you how you can learn and how you can understand and gain further understanding. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 says this, the wise are glad to be instructed. The wise are glad. Now, those of you that are still in school, right now you may be going, glad to be instructed. In fact, some of you, I believe, how many of you just started school again? All you high school students, and okay, just like a couple over here and a couple over here. You're excited about school, aren't you? Yeah, school's awesome. Don't be a fool. Be glad to be instructed. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Be glad to be instructed. And then notice how it ends. But babbling fools what? Don't you? I love the way the Bible just puts it out there, right? Babbling fools, what happens to them? They fall flat on their face. You see, the proverb here is telling us, listen, if you want to be wise, you better understand and receive instruction, and you better learn from your experience. Otherwise, that's what's going to happen. You're going to fall on your face over and over and over and over again. Because being wise is not a one-time effort. Being wise is a lifetime challenge, decision by decision by decision. So let's look first at three ways to receive instruction. Three ways to receive instruction. The first one, follow the counsel of those over you. Follow the counsel of those over you. Now, this is really something difficult because especially in our society and in our culture, we are almost ingrained and brought up to despise those in authority over us. You hear things about like, you know, especially, you know, a couple decades ago, the man keeping us down and all that stuff. And we got to reject those in authority over us. And the boss, he's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. Your boss may be an idiot. He may, quote unquote, not know what he's doing. But he got to be the boss somehow. He must have known something. And so what Solomon says is, listen, those who are in authority over you, they got there somehow. Now, I know that there's that 1 or 2% that, like, you know, they married the boss's daughter and they, you know, all that stuff. We know that, right? And that's where discernment comes into place. But the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says, listen, those who are over you have something that you can learn from them from. So listen to them. Follow their counsel. Now, Proverbs boils it down really to the most seminal relationship between an authority and one under authority, and that is the father-mother-child relationship. All through the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, listen to your father. Pay attention to your mother. Respect, obey, honor. And he's building that in. And the reason that he's building that in is because of this. Your relationship with your father and mother will almost certainly dictate your relationship with every other authority in your life. Think about that. In your home, mamas and dads, if you have kids in the home right now, let me tell you something. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to do everything that I can to tell you to teach your children to respect, listen to, and follow your counsel. Because if they don't learn it in your home, the only other way they're going to learn it is in life. And that's a hard lesson to learn when you get older. Because it's ingrained in your behavior. And so Solomon writes in Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heeds. That word heeds is cool because you look it up, there's really not a whole lot of synonyms for it because it's kind of an old school word that means this. You listen to, you absorb it, you take it in, and you allow it to impact what you do going forward. And that little word heed, that's what it means. So this is a wise son heeds, listens to, takes it in, allows it to impact his decisions moving forward, his father's instruction. But a mocker does not even respond to rebukes. So a wise son heeds, listens ahead of time. But one who is a mocker, one who doesn't care, even when he gets in trouble with the authority, he doesn't care. In fact, usually a mocker will go into the break room and brag about it. You should have seen me. I told him where he could get off. And he told me I'm fired. How dare he fire me? Well, he's the boss and you're an idiot. So that's how it works. So it says a wise person follows the counsel of those over you. The second way you can receive instruction is to invest time with those wiser than you. Invest time with those wiser than you. I want to challenge you for a second. Take a moment and think about all the people that you spend the vast majority of your time with. If you are the quote-unquote wisest person in that group, should that scare you? You're like, well, I don't know. I think I'm pretty wise. Because see, here's the thing. There's this ceiling, if you will, that a group of dumb people who are unwise and foolish are not going to suddenly come up and start making wise decisions. It doesn't happen that way. And so the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says, listen, I know that it's human nature to be jealous of someone who makes better decisions than you, because when they make better decisions than you, they usually have a better life than you, which means they probably have a better home than you, not physical home, but like home life. They probably are better received and better liked by the people around them, and all of those things because they're a wise person and they make the decisions the way that they're supposed to make. And I know that human nature is to look at that person and say, well, they don't deserve that. Well, they didn't do it. And go, no, actually, in reality, that person is probably a wise person who's done that. And instead of going with your human nature and being jealous of them, you should probably gravitate towards them in the hopes that some of that wisdom will rub off on you. Because that's what Proverbs says. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, the one who associates with the wise grows wise. You hang out with people who are wise, and eventually you're going to begin to evaluate the decisions that you make. Because remember, wisdom is about applying the knowledge and the experience that you have to the decisions that you make. And you're going to begin to evaluate all the decisions that you make by the people who you've surrounded yourself with. And see, when we surround ourselves with a bunch of first-class morons who always are making poor decisions, we're like, I'm the smartest person here. This is great. I'm the wisest person here. I only have $25,000 worth of debt. Jed, he's got $40,000 worth of debt. I'm way better than he. No, that is a bad way to do it. Instead, Solomon says, listen, if you want to grow wise, surround yourself with wise people. But he also gives us the other side. But a companion of fools suffers harm. Someone who hangs out with fools will bring all sorts of difficult things on their own life. Things that God never intended you to deal with. But because you refused to hang out with the wise, you refused to spend time with those who would help you become wiser. Instead, you were a companion of fools. And because of that, not only do you suffer the results of their foolishness, but you start making decisions based upon whether or not it will be approved by the group that you run in. You see, that may be a difficult thing, quite frankly, for you to hear, because more than likely, you've probably got some people in your life that you need to gravitate away from. And you go, man, but they're this, but they're that, but they're this. Here's the question. Are they a fool? Because if you spend time and you are a companion of fools, the Bible says that you are opening yourself up to great harm. So spend time with the wise. Third, not only are we to follow the counsel of those over us, not only are we to invest time in those wiser than us, but third, we are to develop a relationship with the one who created us. Develop a relationship with the one who created you. Now, our human nature wants to resist the relationship with God. The reason that our human nature wants to resist the relationship with God is because God is a God of order. God is a God of rules. God is a God of judgment. God is a God that says this is the way things are. There is a right. There is a wrong. And we in our human nature don't typically like that. And so we see the boundaries that God has created. And we say, well, God wants to restrict me. But what we don't realize is that God loves us so very much that the boundaries that he creates are not for our detriment, but they're for our protection. The boundaries that God creates are not to limit us, but to expand the blessing that we receive from him. God puts these things around us to protect us, to keep us in the path and in the plan that he wants us to. It's like you as parents, you have a backyard that's unfenced, and you're like, I don't want to let my kids out there. There are no boundaries to keep them in. They are raving crazy kids. If I put them in the backyard and geese go overhead, they're gone. I mean, they just take off. If a stray cat walks in, I mean, it's like, and they're gone. So you put what? You put boundaries around them. Why? Because you hate them? Because you love them. And you want to keep them safe. That's the same way it is with God. Although we see God and we hear God and we think things like God's doing this to limit us, the reality is that God's doing it to protect us. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says this, respect and obey the Lord. This is the what? What's it say? Come on, I know you're not asleep just yet. This is the what? That's where wisdom starts. That's where it starts. If you don't develop the relationship with God, wisdom will almost always be just outside of your reach, because wisdom begins with a relationship with God. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will never perish, but have eternal life. This morning, maybe you come here for the first time, or maybe you come and the first time you've heard about this idea of a God who loves you and a God who wants to protect you and a God who wants to wrap His arms around you. But the truth of the matter is, because of sin, we've all been born separated from God and unable to have that relationship with God. And the only way that we can begin that relationship with God is by accepting the sacrifice that God made through His Son, Jesus Christ. When He died on the cross, and He took your sin, and He took my sin, and He said, if you believe in me, your sins will be forgiven, and your relationship with the Father will be restored. And so today, in just a few minutes, if you go, man, I want to do that, I'm going to lead you through a process by which you can just respond to God's call in your life. But those are the three ways that you can receive instruction, and I want to give you now two ways that you can learn from experience. First of all, you learn from the experience and the mistakes that you make. You learn from the experiences and the mistakes that you make. When you meet someone that has made the same mistake over and 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 over again, you begin to ask the question, what's wrong with you? Is there something that doesn't click up there? You know, Albert Einstein famously once said, when you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that is the definition of insanity. But yet in our lives, we do that, don't we? Let me just use the one that probably everyone at some point in time has had an issue with. You get a credit card when you are in college. You're a brand new collegian. And all the credit card companies see blood in the water. And they send you thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on credit. And you take it out and you go, yay, my parents never made me take Dave Ramsey University, so I don't even know what this is all about. I'm just going to spend and spend, but I don't have to pay for it. Right now. And then all of a sudden, after a few months, you get a bill that says, hey, you owe us $25,000. You're like, no, I just bought some lunches, and I bought some clothing, and I bought some shoes, and you begin to go through this, you're like, holy cow, how can I have spent that much money on nothing? And have nothing to show for it. And you're like, I will never do that again. And you pay it all off, and you're like, yeah, I've paid it all off. And then you get married. And the two of you think, well, listen, we have to have this. I mean, we can't just sit on beanbag chairs if we're going to have people over. But beanbag chairs work just fine, by the way. And then you don't use a credit card, but you buy furniture on credit, which is even better because that's like 22% interest. And then you say to yourself, I will never do that again. And then you're like, I have to buy a new car because I have to have a new car. Because anybody that buys a used car, I mean, who wants somebody else sitting in your driver's seat for 10 years before you do? I mean, that's just disgusting. Do you see the pattern? The giggling stopped a little bit more as I got going because you realize, oh, crap, that's what I've been doing. You see, you learn from your experiences instead of continuing to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. That's how you learn. Proverbs 24:16 says this, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. It's all perspective. The godly look at failure or mistakes and they go, okay, That was dumb. But I am going to learn from that experience. I am never going to do that again. So you get up, you brush yourself off, and you move forward. But notice this. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. See, failure and mistakes are all a perspective. If you are wise, the perspective that you will have is every mistake that you've ever made in your life was a learning experience that you will never choose to make that mistake ever again. If you see it as something different, then you're seeing everything that happens as devastating, disastrous, life-ending. You ever met somebody like that? Every day is doomsday. They got up and their car wouldn't start. And they were late to work. And they got fired. And you're like, you got fired because of one day late to work? Well, it was my seventh time in the last 10 days. But everything is disastrous. God says, listen, that's not wisdom. That's not the way I want you to handle it. That's not the way you learn from experience. The second way you can learn from experience is this. Learn from the experience and the mistakes of others. You go, well, I've never been down that road before. It doesn't mean you have to go down that road. You've got probably people in your life who've gone down that road, and you've seen the results of the choices that they've made, so avoid them. Now, I know most of you know that I love cats. It's one of my favorite creatures on the planet. And some of you probably think that my affinity for cats is because I've never had cats. But the reality is growing up, I had two cats my entire growing up life in our home. We had a calico cat named Smokey, and we had a white and yellow striped cat named, really, you know, I didn't come up with his name, but Tigger. And these two cats were mom and son. And so the calico cat really seemed to be, I mean, of all the cats I've ever met in my life, this was probably the cat that I liked the most, although I still wanted it to be about 10 feet away from me at all times, because she just seemed to have it all together. And her son, well, just wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. And so we had a mudroom in the back of our house. Those of you that grew up in Indiana, you know what mudrooms are, right? This is mudroom in the back of the house. And it had a glass door in it that had a glass glass frame on top and a glass frame on bottom that were separated. And one day during a big storm, that glass door broke and the whole top piece came out of it and shattered. And for about 2 years, we didn't replace it because it was really intelligent. We just left that door open in the mornings and the cats could jump over and out the door every day and go do what they were doing. At night, they could come in. When they're ready for bed, we just shut the door and locked it, and we were done. It was really, really easy. So for about 2 years, this is how the cats would go in and out of the house. This was right next to our family room where we all sat and watched TV. It shared the same wall. And one night we're sitting there after my dad had replaced the glass window with acrylic. And so we're sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden we heard this thump. That's weird. What's that? Then again, we heard thump. I am not kidding you, 5 times in a row. We hear thump. We're like, what in the world is that? So the door that went from the mudroom, from the family room to the mudroom was a Dutch door. The top would open like this. And so we unlatched it because we're like, I don't know what's going on out here. If there's some raccoon or some crazy large rat that's out here, we don't want it coming in the house. So we opened the Dutch door and we opened it. And the calico cat, the mom, Smokey, is sitting on the bench like this going. The yellow and white striped cat named Tigger is on the ground going like this. And we're like, what is going on? So the cat, Tigger, walks back to its mom. Mom just looks at it, doesn't do anything. He again gets a running start, and you know where this is going. And slam, poof. He had already done it 5 times. He did it 6 more times while we were standing there watching him. The mom is sitting there going, she didn't try it once because she learned from her stupid son's experience. to never do it again. And you wonder why I don't like cats. Proverbs 7, 6 through 8 is Solomon. And he's telling us about him viewing another person's experience. He says, while I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men. And one in particular who lacked common sense. His name was Tigger. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. He goes on for the next 20-some verses describing how this young, simple, naive man made foolish choice after foolish choice after foolish choice until his life was completely destroyed because of an affair with a woman who was married. And then he says this at the end. For she has been the ruin of many, many men have been her victims. He goes, listen, I don't need to go down that road. I've seen it. I've seen others that have gone down that road. I don't need to experience it myself. The wise not only learn from their own experiences, but they learn from the experiences of others and don't make the same mistakes. Father, we thank you for this book of wisdom, this book of Proverbs. And God, I pray that today as we looked at what it means to be a wise person, how to take the understanding that we have and the experiences that we've gained and apply it to the decisions that we make every day in our life. God, I pray that you will challenge each and every one of us to learn the truth, to get understanding, to receive instruction as much as we possibly can, to embrace those in authority over us, to find those who are wiser than us. And God, to develop a relationship with the one that created us. And God, this morning, if there's somebody here who needs to begin that relationship with you today, I pray that just in the quietness of this moment, that their hearts will cry out to you. God, I believe that you, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sins and you paid the price. And I want to be forgiven and free to begin that relationship. And if you're here today and you say, yes, that's me, I just ask, challenge you in the quietness of this moment, just in your heart, pray this to God. God, please forgive me. I accept your Son, Jesus Christ's gift on my behalf, and I want to begin that relationship with you today. God, I also pray for those of us here who are choosing and deciding and wanting to be wise or wiser, that we not only receive that instruction, but we learn from experiences. We learn from our own. Choosing not to make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again, but God, also that we lift our eyes up and we look around us and we learn from the experiences of those around us too. Not foolishly believing that we have to make that mistake to be able to understand it, but just accepting the truth that it's a bad move. God, help us grow in wisdom. Help us grow in our walk with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.